Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and you're tuned in to another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. It's a joy of mine each day to come to you by way of this radio broadcast. This broadcast is designed around you, our listener. And I say that because we invite you to call in, join in the dialogue and discussion. You can do that by dialing 401-1413, 904-401-1413, gets you straight through to the studio, right to the microphone so that we can have the discussion together. In a moment, we'll be talking about the Bible being taught in public schools. The Bible being taught in public schools. I know that you have an opinion on that. You have a thought about that. But I want to bring us current with what's happening on a national level in that regard. But before we do that, let me remind you this Friday and Saturday, the 20th and the 21st, here on the campus of Conservative Theological University, you will have a wonderful opportunity to participate in a challenging, unique, unusual seminar. Each summer, Conservative Theological University provides for the audience, the community, as well as our student body and the university, an opportunity to participate in three seminars. Those seminars are generally June, July, and August. The one in July, which will be July the 20th and 21st, is about God's 7,000-year Bible timeline. And may I simply say, ladies and gentlemen, for over 2,000 years, scholars have studied and searched and surmised how long this world would stand. In fact, some conclude that the world is millions of years old, yet others are so confused they simply appease the evolutionist by thinking that somehow God created the world, flung it into existence, and let it evolve. But ladies and gentlemen, what does the Bible teach? I suggest that you register, enroll for this seminar. It's Friday night, 6:30 to 9:30, and then on Saturday morning, 9 until approximately 2 to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, with an hour for lunch. You will have provided by the university a light finger food luncheon that would be beneficial for you to last for the balance of your study for that day. But ladies and gentlemen, this hard-hitting, truth-finding, biblically derived 7,000-year timeline is for every Christian, and may even interject this, it's also for skeptics. Perhaps you wonder and question the challenge, the truth of what I'm saying. We'd love to have you register for this seminar. It's $99. The $99 covers the seminar or lecture on Friday night and all day Saturday. It includes your light luncheon. It includes a book. It includes your syllabus for this timeline study. And I say that you should attend. If you're a Bible student, a Bible scholar, if you're a ministry worker, if you're a Sunday school teacher, a deacon, it doesn't make any difference, ladies and gentlemen, but if you're saved in particular, you need to participate. Conservative Theological University is providing this, what is called the Kingdom of God, the 7,000-year journey through the ages with the timeline right from the Scripture. Bible students, I talk about many times, you hear Bible students and Bible scholars and pastors and preachers talk about the Kingdom of God, and yet may I suggest that rarely do they ever study or understand the real details, the dates, the months, the times, the years, as recorded in the Word of God. Have you ever wondered, ladies and gentlemen, just why God gives us dates and times in His Word? May I suggest it's because time is meaningful to God Himself, and it should be to us. We should understand what God is saying in the Scripture and how we allocate it to current day life and living. Dr. Dorothy Youngblood, the founder and executive president, vice president of Conservative Theological University, received her PhD in Christian education, and her dissertation was focused on Christian biblical world history, and it was done by way of a timeline. So Journey Through the Ages, the Kingdom of God, the 7,000-year Bible timeline, is open for you, our general public, to sign up. You don't have to be enrolled as a theological university student. You can sign up simply to audit the seminar. Many of our students will take it if that's the lineup for their particular course of studies. But if you are not even a student, you can still take this seminar, and we look forward to that. You can call 262-8275, leave your contact information for someone in the office to call you back and get you registered. Or if you'd rather, you can just register at the door. That is on Friday evening, the 20th of this month. That is this Friday. The seminar starts sharply at 6:30. I would suggest if you're going to register at the door to be here about 6 o'clock, so you've got time to do so and to get acquainted with others as they're coming in. And we're looking forward to having you. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you're coming from your church and there's three from one church can enroll, and it's $50 apiece rather than $99 if it's three or more from the individual church. Otherwise, it's $99. And we'd love to have you. We're looking forward to this Journey Through the Ages, the Kingdom of God, the 7,000-year Bible timeline this Friday and Saturday. Again, you can call 262-8275. Get your information to us that we can get you enrolled by telephone, or you can register at the door. It's located at Conservative Theological University campus, and that's located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, exactly 1 mile south of I-295. I believe we already have a caller on the line. If you would go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you. You've got a lot of noise in the background, but go ahead.
Okay. Sorry about that. I'm driving. But I wanted to take this opportunity to call you. I'm planning on joining a church. I've thought about it. I really love the church. I've been searching for a good church to go to since I relocated. But I want to ask you what your feelings are about having homosexuality in the church and considering them part of the church family. I do not know if this is true, but I have my suspicions, and I was going to present my thoughts to the pastor before I make a commitment to join, because I'm totally against it unless they are saved and told to repent.
Let me cut through the chase for the benefit of time for both of us, and simply put it this way: there's no such thing as a homosexual Christian. Now, there's some out there that might get their dander all up and get all bristled up and angered at that. No such thing as saying that we can have our sin and it's a sodomite lifestyle, and we can still love Jesus, still serve in the local church. There's some churches, some denominations that have open-armed embraced the sodomite lifestyle. First Conservative Baptist Church happens not to be one of those. We simply take the stand of what the Scripture says, and the Scripture indicates, and it's very, very real, that the sodomite lifestyle is the only sin that caused God to destroy two cities. It's the only sin that God said He's given them over to a reprobate mind.
Right.
It's the only sin that you find that is in society today that some have embraced and say that it's okay, that it's simply love and love is of God. That is simply a demonstrable lie from the demons of hell. And so, simply put, no, absolutely, it's an impossibility to be part of a local New Testament church, God-called New Testament church, a body of born-again, Bible-saved Christians. It's an impossibility to coexist with that. Now, yes, listen very carefully.
What about opening communion to everybody that attends the church, regardless of who they are? They claim that the communion is open to everyone. I don't believe that either, but I don't know. Am I being judgmental or what?
Well, it's judgmental in a way, because there's no such thing in the scriptures where there's closed communion. Communion, as it is called, the observance and the celebration of the Lord's Supper, is open to every believer. So if you're in a church, every believer, if you're in a church and you're visiting that church and they're celebrating the observance of the Lord's Supper, and you're saved, you have the right and the authority, biblically speaking, to participate.
But if you're not saved, then if you're living in sin, should you not refrain from taking the communion?
The individual has to make that choice and decision. The scripture is very clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning with about verse 30 and following, that the person needs to judge himself to determine whether or not he should participate in the celebration of the Lord's Supper. It's not left up to the pastor, the deacons, or the body of Christ to adjudicate who can participate and who cannot. It is left up to that individual. Now, however, if a church goes on the basis of closed communion and they start to have the celebration of the Lord's Supper, and they invite those that are non-members to simply quietly leave, that's their prerogative. Now, you don't find that any place in the scripture to be a biblical edict or a biblical directive or a biblical command. That's simply the way that some denominations carry out their services, and that's their prerogative.
Okay. Well, I know that Paul said to not, take the body and blood of Christ in vain, and not to defile themselves in some way. You know, I don't think quote the exact scripture.
Well, and you're paraphrasing, but in that text in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 through about verse 31, 32, 33, is very, very clear, and it's talking about many in that era were participating in the celebration of the Lord's Supper called the Holy Eucharist in that era, and in doing so, they're participating in an ungodly fashion. They were coming in a drunken brawl. They were coming in less than spiritual mindset and attitude, and he said, as a result of that, many of you are sickly, weak and sickly, and some of you are asleep. That is, some of you have died as a result of your ungodly, sinful lifestyle in the celebration of the Lord's Supper. That's the reason he said you must judge yourselves, lest you be judged, so that you will not be judged. Very interesting question.
Let me ask you real quick one question then. If I chose to approach the pastor before I chose to join membership in that church, how would you approach him in a very kind and loving fashion, not judgmental or critical, but just to clarify what their stance is and their system of beliefs are on homosexuals in the church?
Just as you have asked the question on the air.
Considered part of the family and the body of Christ.
Just as you have very lucidly asked that question on the air, it is in the same form and style that you should ask that pastor and expect a direct, honest, loving answer. If there's a refusal to discuss it or refusal to answer it, that is the answer in and of itself for you. But thank you so much for your call today. Looking forward to hearing again from you what God is doing in your life, and be blessed today. Ladies and gentlemen, as we talk about the subject today, the Bible in public schools, may I remind us that it's viewed by the fake news media today as something that needs to be kept covered and silenced and are sequestered away from the general public. And that is the good news that Matthew Bevin, the governor of Kentucky, has signed a bill enacting a new law in Kentucky that allows the Bible to be taught in the public schools. Here's the article, and I'll just read you a very brief part of it for the sake of time. Title of the article says, Governor Matthew Bevin publicly signs a bill allowing Kentucky's public schools to teach the Bible. Public schools in Kentucky can soon be teaching reading, writing, and the book of Revelation, as it introduces it. At the Capitol on Tuesday, Governor Bevin gave his public amen to a bill allowing allowing Bible to be taught in public schools. And this article goes on to say, normally a bill signing does not open with prayer, but in this case, it may have been appropriate. At the ceremony in the Capitol Rotunda, Bevin signed House Bill 128, which allows public schools to teach courses on the Bible. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, in the House and the Senate, it was an overwhelming number of legislators in the state of Kentucky that signed off on this bill before the governor, and when they passed the bill before the governor ever signed it into law. The bill's sponsor said students need to understand the role of the Bible as it is played in American history. Quote, "It really did set the foundation for our founding fathers used to develop documents like the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights. All of those came from principles found in the Bible." And it goes on to talk about their ideals and what they're wanting to accomplish in relationship to that bill. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe it's time that America comes to an understanding of what we ought to do. And I believe it's time that Christians must once again take a public stand on the direction for our great nation. Ladies and gentlemen, everything America was built upon, everything that is the bedrock for our nation today, all of our basic laws and the framework for our Constitution came from the Bible. Here's an article that says, it's time to teach the Bible in public schools, or isn't it time to teach the Bible in public schools? Trying to understand Western civilization, this article says, without reading the Bible is like trying to understand American history without reading the Constitution. It simply won't work. And the article further states, the Bible as comprised of the Old and the New Testament is simply put the most important and seminal work of literature in Western civilization. Biblical literacy, which is to say a basic functioning knowledge of the stories of the Bible, is essential to have a full understanding of how our society works and why it differs so dramatically from others. This is why it must be thoroughly taught in public schools. And then further in this elongated article, I'll just pick up a spot for us. The question is, does the Bible still matter? I ask Robert George McCormick, professor of jurisprudence at Princeton University, this writer says, if he feels teaching the Bible is still an essential element of good education. He had this to say, and ladies and gentlemen, this is a very poignant statement that I believe is applicable and is absolutely correct today. He says, as a matter of historical fact, the core ideas and institutions of Western civilization were shaped in decisive ways by biblical religion. Now, I don't like that term, biblical religion. It's biblical Christianity, but I know what he's saying. That fact alone establishes the need for schools to teach our young people what the Bible says. What's more, knowledge of the Bible requires not only to understand the great Jewish and Christian thinkers and writers and artists of the past two centuries, and it goes on to talk about that, the past 2,000 years, he said, it is not something that is viewed as unconstitutional, he further says. Those who object to the teaching that the Bible in public schools might somehow fanatically point at a constitution and exclaim that such a plan establishes a state religion is forbidden. The relevant case here is Abington School District versus Shemp, and while the court did find against the school's district's Bible reading, it did so with a major caveat. Listen to this caveat, ladies and gentlemen. This is from the court ruling in 1963, where it outlawed, as we refer to it, as the Bible in public schools. But listen to the caveat that most will never talk about, most are not aware that it exists in the jurisprudence decision of the Supreme Court of the 60s. The judges then said, it may well be said that one's education is not complete without a study of comprehensive religion or of the history of religion and its relation to the advancement of civilization. The court found, quote, it certainly may be said that the Bible is worthy of study for its literacy and historic qualities. Nothing we have said here indicates that such study of the Bible or of religion, when presented objectively as a part of a secular program of education, may not be effective consistently with the First Amendment. Ladies and gentlemen, what the court said then in the 60s is simply this, that the Bible can be taught in public schools. The Bible can be taught as a literary study on history. And ladies and gentlemen, though from the Christian standpoint, you say, well, the Bible is far more than just a literary book. And absolutely it is. But what I'm saying is what Matt Bevin has done in the state of Kentucky ought to be viewed as the template for legislators across America and for governors across America to take the stand and step up to the plate and give an opportunity in our public schools for our students to learn what the Word of God says. We must recognize, ladies and gentlemen, the direction of our nation today. We must recognize it's now headed in what I call a pathway of absolute moral, ethical, social, and political destruction. If you don't believe that, just turn on the evening news. If you don't believe that, just listen to how they're trying to drive President Trump out of office. Listen to how the left-wing lunatics are trying to latch on to any little phrase that the president says that has a question about the intent or a question about the linkage with the previous statement or the total context of his statement, and they try to use that to call and cry treason in some fashion. And ladies and gentlemen, when you understand what treason means, there's no way possible unless we're in a state of war and the president or some other political leader commits an act in favor of the other side of the war. It's an impossibility for it to be called treason. But we've got those legislators today that are socialist, Marxist, Leninist, communist that sits in the seat of the House and the Senate that's making decisions about the direction of our nation. I think it's time as Christians that we wake up, sit up, smell the coffee, and say to people like Governor Bevin that we applaud you and we praise you for what you've done and for the stand that your state has taken in this regard. Here's an article that says, it's time to teach the Bible in public schools. Trying to understand Western civilization without reading the Bible is like trying to understand American history without reading the Constitution. This writer says it simply won't work. In fact, the article further says, sadly, almost two decades into the 21st century, biblical literacy is slipping away from us. A recent correction to a story, listen to this, ladies and gentlemen, this shows you the ignorance about the scripture, even in the wacky media world that we're living in today. A recent correction to a story in the Wall Street Journal gives a tidy example, this writer says. Correction, end quote. An earlier version of this story incorrectly stated that Benjamin Netanyahu said, he's the prime minister, by the way, of Israel, if you don't know, said Moses brought water from Iraq. He said the water was brought from a rock. It wasn't from Iraq or Iraq. It's a rock. What the Israeli prime minister was referring to, ladies and gentlemen, was the miracle in the book of Exodus. And somehow this miracle was not only made by the writer, this mistake was made by the writer, but was passed all of the editors and all the proofreaders, as well as some think all of these people were educated people. But it passed by the editors, it passed by the proofreaders, and was published that the Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, said that Moses brought water from Iraq. He said that Moses brought water from a rock. And that's where Moses spoke to the rock and the water produced water as God had told him to do. That shows the biblical illiteracy today, ladies and gentlemen, where even these so-called educated people had no earthly idea what he was saying, what he was referring to in his statement, what it was connoting in his address. Here's in this same article, the question is asked, does the Bible still matter? And this writer says, I asked George McCormick, professor of jurisprudence at Princeton University, if he feels teaching the Bible is still an essential element of good education. And he said this, ladies and gentlemen, listen. Listen to what this professor in a secular institution had to say about the Bible and it being taught. He says, as a matter of historical fact, the core ideas and institutions of all of Western civilization were shaped in decisive ways by biblical religion. The fact alone establishes the need for schools to teach our young people what the Bible says. What's more, knowledge of the Bible is required not only to understand the great Jewish and Christian thinkers and writers and artists of the past 2,000 years, but even to understand anti-religious Western thinkers such as Hume, that is David Hume, and Nietzsche. They were some of the most prolific anti-Bible thinkers, if you will, where he goes further, said, whether one happens to be a believer or a skeptic, biblical literacy condemns one to the ignorance of things that decently educated people know and understand, end quote. Simply put, ladies and gentlemen, there's a real need in America today for the Bible to be taught. Now, listen, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not advocating that's the only place that it needs to be taught. We need to understand that over the past 20 years, that there's been those subversive groups in our schools across America, those that have infiltrated our public school system, those of the Muslim Brotherhood, those of the Muslim student clubs, those that have formed the Hindu student groups. They're growing. The humanist student groups are growing, proliferating on campuses in our public schools. So also the LGBTQ sodomite groups in our public schools on the campuses. And yet the Bible has been banned on the premise and the basis by these general, those that we generally view as educated people in the public school system, saying that you can't read the Bible, you can't study the Bible. The Bible is banned and forbidden on the campuses of the public schools. That's simply a lie. That's not what the Constitution says. That's not what the Supreme Court ruled in 1963. And yet it is viewed that way, and Christians are being bamboozled into believing that the Bible is a forbidden book on the campuses and public schools. And citizens, Christian citizens, have been demeaned and regulated regarded as second-class citizens. All kinds of so-called interfaith groups have been allowed to meet in most of our public school campuses. Yet Christian students, Christian clubs on our public campuses have been relegated to off-campus sites to be able to study the Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, the Word of God in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 and following is an absolute challenge to that, where it says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk to them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Ladies and gentlemen, the challenge from the Word of God is for parents to teach the sons and daughters the Word of God. But what we have found today is the great apostasy, the great falling away in our public, churches across America. We're finding across America churches closing, churches downsizing as a result of the great apostasy, the falling away. And many churches that are still operative today, ladies and gentlemen, the pastors have fallen prey to the psychobabble theology, and they simply want to tell you 10 ways to be happy, 10 ways to get rich, 15 ways to forgive your brother, etc., etc., and they're not preaching and teaching the Bible. Therefore, we find with the younger generation, especially in the millennial age group today, ladies and gentlemen, where they have abandoned the church wholesale. Their philosophy is, whether they say it or not, is, what's the use? I'm not learning anything. We have those leaving many of the mainline denominations today, going into what's called the Christian cults, because they do not know and understand the Word of God. And may I say, ladies and gentlemen, as a result of that, there's a major need for the Bible to be taught. Teaching the Bible is not an unconstitutional endeavor at all. Teaching the Word of God is something that is constitutional. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, you may or may not know this, but the grand old party, the Republican Party platform, in 2016, July the 14th, 2016, took a stand and said that they wanted it to be understood that there would be an effort to get Bible reading and Bible teaching back into the classroom. They say, and I quote, "This is not designed to teach religion in schools as a means of proselytizing," said Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council and conservative advocacy group, and a grand old party delegate from Louisiana who supported Bible in public school systems. "You can't really fully understand the American form of government and society without some understanding of the Bible." Ladies and gentlemen, that's right out of the Republican platform of 2016. Most are not aware of that. But ladies and gentlemen, the Bible can be taught as an elective in history. It can be taught as an elective in literature. It can be taught as an elective in religion. It can be taught as an elective in social studies. And in any of those categories, which basically permeates all of academia today, the Bible can be introduced as an elective and can be taught. And ladies and gentlemen, may I say to you that we need to understand that it's time that we sit up, smell the coffee, and get actively involved in our system of government and the system of education. In fact, I would suggest that you call the local Board of Education, the Duval County Board of Education. Ask the leadership there, are our students allowed to study the Bible in their classroom? If not, why not? Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand it's time for us to be literate in the Word of God. Thank you so much for joining in today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air, even tomorrow, as once again we face the issues
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal, Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.